Okay, has everybody got a palm cross? That's fantastic. If Stefan and Alan, you'd like to just put them back on the table, that would be really good. And please would you find Matthew chapter 21 and verses 1 to 11 so that you can have it in front of you. That's on page 21 and 22 of the New Testament section of the Green Bibles, page 21 and 22, Matthew chapter 21 and verses 1 to 11. So we all know what Hosanna means. What does Hosanna mean? Save us, or Lord save us particularly. Yes, just Hosanna means save us. And we've got the picture here of the Lord Jesus coming in riding on a donkey. And I think it's really important that we notice that he's made the arrangements in advance. If you look up to verse 2, go into the village, Jesus says, immediately you'll find a donkey, untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, just say this, the Lord needs them. It obviously implies that he has organized that there would be a donkey and a donkey's colt ready for him to ride in. In other words, what he is consciously doing is that he is fulfilling the prophecy. Jesus knew his Old Testament, and he's consciously fulfilling the prophecy. So what I'd encourage you to do is keep a finger in Matthew chapter 21 and turn with me to Zechariah chapter 9. Now you'll find that in the Green Bibles on page 898. Page 898, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. So turn back, keep a finger in the New Testament in Matthew, and then turn back to page 898, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Page 898. It says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion, shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." And so what Jesus is doing is that he's riding into Jerusalem, and as I said, all pilgrims tend to walk into Jerusalem, and he is choosing, he's planning and now fulfilling. And so for the first time in Jesus' public ministry, he's actually allowing people to acknowledge who he is publicly. He's claiming to be the fulfillment of that prophecy of Zechariah, that here is the king coming into Jerusalem. He's going to be a king who will bring peace. He will get rid of war horses and bows and all of the things that are dreadful in order to bring peace to the nations. And he's going to bring peace right the way across the world. That is what Jesus is claiming to do. And he's coming gentle. Some of the translations have, others have humble, as we have. And a humble person is not somebody who's a doormat. Somebody who is gentle is actually in control of themselves. They're in control of their own strength in order then to be able to be gentle. I was hearing a story of somebody who'd been watching a dad playing with his daughter in the park. And he was a great sort of bruising bloke with tattoos all over the place and quite a lot of earrings and all sorts of other things, piercings and stuff. And so he's not at all the person that you want to meet on a dark night down a strange alley. That sort of bloke. And yet, playing with his daughter, he was immensely gentle. And that is the picture that we're to have of Jesus being somebody who is humble, and yet he's not a pushover. He's not weak because he is gentle. He's immensely strong as to who he is. And what the crowd are doing is that they are recognizing that he is king. And so they're shouting out, Hosanna, Lord, save us. They're saying that they recognize that they need to be brought right. Now, we don't know exactly what they meant by saying Hosanna, by saying save us. Were they saying save us from the Romans? Remember, Israel at that time was occupied, like a lot of Europe was in the Second World War. And you desperately want to get rid of the occupying forces in order that you can be free again. And it may have been that they were saying that, but he's actually coming, fulfilling a prophecy saying he's going to bring peace rather than war. So he's not the expectation that they had of this great conquering king who's going to come riding a war horse or in some great chariot. He's different, and yet he is still king. And the invitation is to respond to him, to trust him for who he is. They're saying, save us. And when we say, save us to Jesus, what we're meaning is put us right with God, because we have an understanding of what Jesus was going to go on to do. We know that within a very few days, by Thursday night, he's going to have been betrayed, and he is going to very quickly be tried and executed in the most appalling way. And so what I'd like you to do is to have a look at the palm cross, because I think that this palm cross represents a brilliant symbol of Holy Week as a whole. Just look at the palm cross and see what it's made of. It's made of palms, palm leaves, reminding us of the entry into Jerusalem, reminding us of all these people who are honoring Jesus as the Lord, as the King, as the ruler, as the one that had been long promised by God, the one who was coming in fulfillment of Scripture, the one who is God made human being. All of those things they were honoring, and therefore people were putting their cloaks down in front of the donkeys, they were putting palm branches down, and because this is made of palm branches, it reminds us of that. He is coming as Lord. But in the same way, when we look at it, and the shape of it is that it's a cross. And we know that at the end of the week, he is going to be executed in the most appalling way and nailed to a cross, obviously much bigger than this, much stronger than this, but still, the shape of it is the same. He's coming to die. And the Christian understands that the only way that human beings, who are all of us sinful, can be put right with a God who is holy, 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 is if God takes some action. There's no way that by our own effort we can sort of, you know, brush our hair and clean our shoes and make ourselves acceptable to God. Because we still have fallen short. We still have disobeyed God. We still have, in our thinking and most of the time in our actions too, we've rebelled against God. It has to be God who does something to put us right with himself. And what he does is to send into the world the one perfect human being. The one perfect human being, the Lord Jesus, who had no sin of his own that deserved punishment. And so he is the only one who is able to say, I will step in and take what they deserve in order that I can give them what I alone deserve, which is open access to the Father. And that is what Jesus is doing on the cross. He is the sacrifice, the punishment. He's taking the punishment that sin deserves. But he's willing to be a substitute. He's standing in our place. And all the Old Testament sacrifices, same principle really. An animal stood in place of the sinful person. The animal was killed, and the person could be forgiven by God. That was what God had said. But it didn't work fully, and it wasted until there was one perfect human being, exactly the same as us, and yet without sin, who stood in our place. So when we look at the cross, we remember those two things, that Jesus is Lord. He is the one who was honored as being the king coming in, and yet he is also Savior. He is Lord and Savior. And what we need to do, just as the crowd did on that day, is to recognize him, but unlike the crowd, we're to stick with him. And to say, I want Jesus to be ruling in my life. I want him to be Lord because I need him to be Saviour. We can't say, well, I'll just have the Saviour bit, thank you very much. I'd like to be put right with God, but I'd like to do my own thing. That isn't the way that God works. And equally, we don't want just the Lord bit, because that would almost feel as though it was sort of scary, that we couldn't ever live up to all the standards that the king was wanting. You remember Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. It's far stricter and stronger and deeper than the Old Testament. So if he's just Lord, we'd feel that we'd never be able to be good enough. But in fact, he has come to be Lord and Saviour. And what we need to do this Easter week is to say, please come. Please come to be my Lord and my Saviour. And I'm just going to say a prayer now, and if you feel, well, this is something I said years ago, then echo it in your heart and be thankful. If it's something that you feel you've never done, that you'd like to do, then pray the prayer, but please then make sure that you come and talk to me or to one of the wardens in the church, but come and have a word with me afterwards so that I can then point you in the right direction, so that you can begin your Christian life. Let me pray, and let's just, I'm going to pray out loud, and if you would like to just echo it quietly in your heart, or don't try and follow, but just pray along with me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you that you loved me enough to give the Lord Jesus to die in my place. Thank you that he is Lord, that he was recognized as such. Thank you that he came to be Savior. Thank you that his death is sufficient. I don't need anything else to be put right with you forever and permanently. And therefore, Lord Jesus, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would come into my life to take control. Come to be my ruler. Come to be my Savior. Come to be my friend. And Father, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live the rest of my life as one who follows Jesus and whose main desire is to make him known. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.